Good morning, Harbor of Joy.
Good morning.
We want you to join with us as we sing our opening, Above All, on this beautiful first morning of June for on Sunday. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all Psalm 81, 1 to 2, and verse 7, I read, sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music, strike the tambourine, play the melodious harp and lyre. In your distress you called, and I rescued you. I answered you out of the thundercloud. I tested you at the waters of Meribah, the place where Moses and Aaron rebelled against God, from Numbers 20, verses 13 and 24.
Thank you, Lynn. Welcome to Harbor of Joy. Just have some announcements to make, letting you know that my wife and I are going on vacation on Tuesday. We won't be here next Sunday, but you know who's going to be here? Good. It's going to be Dan Winkowicz will be here, just so you know that. And looking forward to, and I'm glad that he's going to be here as well. Just want you to know as well that following the worship today, those of you that are singing in the choir, that one song for Father's Day, we're going to meet up here right away before refreshments. And then after that, then you can have refreshments, but there's some that have to take off early as well. But just want you to know that right after church, meet up here to sing the song you're going to sing on Father's Day. And yesterday was men's breakfast. You know how many guys there were? If you don't know, it's because you weren't there, and you're going to say, like, well, I'm a woman. Well, I'll just keep you in suspense. It was a good turnout. That's all I'll say. It was a good turnout of guys. Glad that we could get together, and those of you that came. And it's just always the first Saturday of every month, and we just invite whoever, any guys that is available that like to come and be there, you're sure welcome to be a part of the men's breakfast as well. Just want you to know that that was this. I was yesterday, so what's in the bulletin is not going to happen this coming Saturday, just so you know that. And the property committee will meet next Sunday following the worship service as well. Just a little update on my nephew, Dustin. He's back home. We didn't think he'd get home that soon, but he's back home, and he's got these bandages, and he's got to get those cleaned and redone every day, but he's doing well. And just thank you for your prayers for him. And you see a new address in the bulletin for Ken and Julie Hansen. They've moved into Pocahontas Point, I think, is of all places where they moved on into, because I finally know where that place is at now. So we just appreciate that. And want you to know that on the very back of the flyer that you have, it's the 100th anniversary of Bible Camp. And so there's a lot of things that you can read about that. It's going to be taking place, I believe, on the last Sunday of this month at 7 p.m. There's a celebration service at that time out at the camp. So there's other things that you can read in there as well. And also that Avis Davis is going to be starting a painting class, and it's going to be the second and the fourth Tuesday and Thursdays. And if you've got questions, give her a call. Her phone number is in the bulletin as well. So with that, I'm just going to have a word of prayer and then turn it back over to the praise team here this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us as we come already into June. Hard to believe that May is history, and now we're in June. We thank you, Lord, for the moisture that we have received this year. For some, it's probably way too much. And for the farmers in particular, they would like to have less rain to get the fields in first. So we just pray that the farmers really are at your mercy, Lord, and grateful and yet still concerned, and they know that they're not to be anxious, but to leave things into your hands as you will have your way and do the things that you see that's needed in order for the crops to be put in the ground and then also take care of them during this summer months as well. Lord, we're thankful for everyone that is here this morning. And we just lift up to you, Lord, Donna Osher in particular, just knowing that she has received news of cancer. And we just pray that you would be with her and Bruce as they continue to meet with the medical doctors and the things as far as what the outcomes are the things that need to be done or possibilities type of a thing, consultations, what they have. And we just pray your blessing to be upon her in particular and Bruce during this time, that you would lift them up, that you would give them the hope that they need, even though they've got the C word that no one likes to hear. But we know that with you, Lord, there's always hope. And we commit them into your hands, and they're the best hands that anyone can be put into as well. And we pray for all the other prayer requests that we find in the bulletin here this morning as well. A lot of different kinds, but still very important ones and things that really have an impact and effect on people's lives. And it's sometimes it's not just those in the bulletin, but it's their people, that friends and family that know of them as well. So we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for the praise band and leading us in worship. Help us to point us to Jesus Christ, who is our Savior today. May we know that we have spent time in his presence, and may we also take him with us as we leave today as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. It e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, all who gather here, by grace draw near and bless your name. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the draw near and bless your name.
Are you staying up here?
We are.
Okay. The brief order of confession and forgiveness is before us here this morning because it's the first Sunday of the month when we have communion. We're invited by Jesus to come to his table today. So in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're going to take some time of just silence, and you can confess your own sin before the Lord or the Holy Spirit has brought to your mind this morning, and ask God to forgive you for whatever those sins may be. Or you can just praise him as well, or just to sit in silence and wait upon the Lord to show you what he would want you to see about yourself here this morning. Let's do that. Most merciful God, We confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son, who has laid down his life for us, and he rose again, so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. Amen.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me all of his own, and the joy we share.
Thank you, praise team. And you may be dismissed, and I invite the rest of the congregation to stand as we hear God's word today that comes to us in the book of Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 to the end of the chapter, verse 28. Mark 2, 23 through 28. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Lord, we have probably read this portion of Scripture many times, or we have heard it a number of times in our lives, but maybe it could be fresh and the first time for a number of people here today. I look, Lord, to your help into preaching this text in a way that is understandable and clear and concise, and that we may gain insights and that we would be touched by your Holy Spirit and to receive what you would have for us this morning through this text. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Do you know what the word Sabbath means? One word. Rest. Thank you. That's really what Sabbath means, is rest. God created everything in 6 days, and on the seventh, it's not new to many of us, he then rested. One of the Ten Commandments is about the importance of worshiping God one day of the week. But God knows the importance for us to rest. How many of you need a good rest? I don't know what happened last night, but it was not a restful night. And I don't know if it was because it was Sunday or what. But we see the importance that you need to have a good rest. So if I fall asleep up here, you're free to go. Or somebody wake me up if that should take place. The Jewish Sabbath is on Saturday. The Jews start their worship. Their Sabbath starts Friday night, Friday evening. And then they get together on Saturday in their synagogue to worship the Lord. This is something you have to keep in mind about the Sabbath. It's God's gift to us. Don't get sidetracked in a lot of different ways with the Sabbath. The Sabbath is God's gift to us. It's always been meant that way. It was never meant to be man making burdensome rules for what happens on the Sabbath, which oftentimes has taken place. Man thinks this is what needs to happen when the Sabbath or the Lord's Day is about to take place or on the Lord's Day. Our Lord's Day is Sunday. And we'll get into why is it Sunday? Why did we pick Sunday? Or why do we meet on Sunday? We'll get into that before I'm done here today. But we see in our text today that something very interesting is going on here, which is not surprising because it's the Pharisees, the religious rulers, the religious people of the day who are paying very close attention and are watching Jesus and everything he does as well as with his disciples. And they're going to be the first ones to accuse him of many different things. And what day is it that they're watching him? On a Sabbath. And they're just walking through a grain field. Now, you see the Jews have what is called the Mishnah. It is a kind of a rule book. It's their interpretation as far as what goes on, what you should be doing on the Sabbath. It's not God's word, it's the Jewish interpretation of the Sabbath. There's 39 different laws that they've come up with in the Mishnah that deals with the Sabbath, what takes place on the Sabbath. Even to the point where it goes how far you can walk on the Sabbath before it becomes a work. And if it comes to work, well, then you are sinful and you have just caused a terrible thing in God's eyes and you need to repent right away or you should never do that. The Mishnah is got 39 headings of laws and they have to deal with this. It pertains to reaping. What is considered reaping? Well, by the disciples pulling off the heads of the grain, what did they just do, according to the Pharisees? They're reaping. They're harvesting by pulling off the heads of the wheat. And then they have winnowing. You know, we know winnowing is where you'd be on top of a hill, you take the grain that has been run over or walked on by oxen or donkeys or by people's feet, and you'd get into the wind and you'd throw it up in the air, and the chaff would be blown by the wind, the heavy part of the grain would come down. But they had rules about what's winnowing. When does it become bad to do that? There is threshing. And there is also preparing a meal. You probably should make the meal the day before the Sabbath, because if you do make a meal on the Sabbath, it's work, and you are sinning. That's according to the Pharisees. So Jesus is being accused by the Pharisees about he and his disciples, not really him, but his disciples, because they were seen grabbing some heads of the wheat. And of course, they would have to then thrash it in the palm of their hand and blow on it to take care of the trash that it comes in, the hulls, and blow that away. And they would probably put the kernels in their mouth, and they would then chew it and eventually swallow it. Growing up on the farm in North Dakota, and we would harvest wheat, and it was dumped into the truck. I'd take out a handful, make sure it was all wheat, put it in my mouth, and you could chew it, and it becomes gum. You have wheat gum. And you can chew it as long as you want, and you can also swallow it. But it just go, cool, I'm going to have some gum while I just wait for the next time Dad comes around and has to dump the combine out, the hopper out into the truck. I wouldn't advise you to do it if it's treated wheat, treated seeds now, okay? Don't even try this if it's treated. But according to the Jewish law, the disciples of Jesus were classified as being lawbreakers by what they saw them doing by walking through this field and what they did as they did that. So the Sabbath, according to the Mishnah, that has come from the interpretation of the Pharisees and the religious leaders, the rabbis and all those, they would be looked upon as lawbreakers because they have just violated some of those interpretations and laws that are in the Mishnah. And so this is what they're accusing Jesus and his followers of on this particular day in our text. Jesus answers their accusation this way. And he points to Scripture. He goes back to the Old Testament and he says, by the way, have you read about what David did, King David did with his companions when they came to the holy temple and he asked the priest. This is found in 1 Samuel chapter 21, 1 through 6, but you're going to find a different name. It's not going to be Abathar. It's going to be Abathar's dad. Ahimelech is what's going to be mentioned in there. And Jesus says, well, what happened when they came into the temple with his companions? They were hungry because they were just had come back from battle or going to battle. And they're hungry. They needed something to eat. And so in the temple, there was what they called showbread. And there was 12 loaves of showbread that was made once a week. And so he asked Ahimelech, they need something to eat, and all he had was the showbread there in the temple. And he said, you can eat it. Take the showbread and eat it. Now the law says that the showbread was only to be eaten by the priests, not by anyone else. When God says the Sabbath is to be kept holy, it is always in reference to helping someone. If you're going to help someone, that is what's important. If there's some kind of a need, then you help in it making that need met or meet that need and make sure that it doesn't, that you don't miss out on that opportunity. But God is always important that we are looking out for people. And people are more important than ceremonies or traditions, more important than what the Mishnah says, the interpretation. God is all about helping people, meeting their needs that they have. So the accusation that is going on here between Jesus and his disciples and the Pharisees, it's just bogus. Because we know that King David was given the showbread that should have been only for the priests to eat, but they made the bread every week. So it's kind of like it's probably the old bread. They're going to make some new bread. And he just said, go ahead and help yourself, eat. And this is where we get into the conflict sometimes of tradition. This was a tradition of the Pharisees, and they always watched everyone else to make sure they would follow the traditions. If you don't follow the tradition, then you are a bad person. You are a lawbreaker because you're not following the ways that they've interpreted things. That ever happened to you? You sometimes wonder about different things that go on in churches and like, why is it this way? Why is it that way? A lot of people go like, I have no idea. This is the way we've done it. It's the only way I know. As you look into it much deeper, you find out that some of these things are just traditions or man-made things. It's not anything that God is doing or even wants. Human need always takes priority over ceremonial law or traditions. And the traditions are always of do this or don't do that. That's what a tradition is. It's man-made. God is looking for the needs of people, and that's what priority is. David was hungry, his companions were hungry. The priest said, eat this bread. Nothing wrong with that. And they did. And so here, as they come with their interpretations of just walking through a field and pulling off some heads of grain and eating it, well, then they get into the traditions of, okay, what is reaping and what is harvesting and what is winnowing? And, are they making something for themselves here to eat? By taking this grain that wasn't even theirs, it was some other farmer's grain. But God has always love over his people. Love will always become better than the law. Love is above the law. The law was given out of love of God to us. So the Ten Commandments can be summed up in one word, love. It's done in love because you love God, nothing wrong with it. If you do it out of your own self, you want to be patted on the back, then you probably got some issues with that. Or to think you're better than someone else because you do it this way and they don't do it your way. Then you got problems. Like, show me in the Bible where it says that it's wrong. That's what Martin Luther really did, even with the Pope. He just says, well, just show me. Show me in the Bible where it says that, and I will listen to you. But they never, ever wanted to go that direction. So God's love over people is very important all the time. Jesus, we find it here, it even states that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, not man. Jesus, who is called the Son of Man, says he is Lord of the Sabbath. So just think of this, just from a very practical standpoint. If we go by what the Jews said in the Mishnah, and we've applied it to today, or followed it by today's standards, there would be no hospitals, because it'd be locked. Doctors, nurses, whoever makes the things in the hospital work, they're there even today. And I'm glad they are. If you've ever had an emergency you had to do on a Sunday, you're glad that there's someone at the hospital who was there to help you. Think of going out after church. Where do you usually go? Some restaurant. Guess who does the cooking? Guess who does the waiting? Are they lawbreakers because they're doing that? Not according to God's law. They're meeting a need. If you're hungry, they're going to feed you. They want to make your time with them an enjoyable time as well. So I just think there's a lot of different things. You know, how far can you drive in your car on a Sunday if you go by the mission? Of course, they didn't have cars back then. They wouldn't know. But they would have some kind of a rule of saying you can't only drive so far, but what if there was no gas stations that were open? No place to get gas. What do you do? God is always looking out for his people. And it's always love is behind whatever he does for his people. The meeting needs. So why do we worship on Sunday? Well, that's pretty simple. There's just a couple of things. The resurrection took place when? On the first day of the week of the Jews, which would be our Sunday. The resurrection took place. We celebrate Easter. We celebrate the resurrection. When did Pentecost happen? On a Sunday. And so when you find that when Jesus left this planet and went up into heaven, those that followed him could not remain the same as, even though they were Jews, to continue on with the Jewish way of doing things. They chose, we will worship God on Sunday. The resurrection happened, Pentecost happened, and we know that God wants us to have one day of rest, one day that's put to the side, that we make it a special day. And what makes it a special day is that if we go out and we say, it's a day that a lot of times people go visit nursing homes. They wouldn't do that during the week, but they'll do it on Sunday because they have time to do that. And of course, some of you do it many times probably throughout the week. But you think of today, worship is done on almost every day, isn't it? There are churches who tried on Sunday night because people come back from the lakes. They find ways that's more convenient for people to come and worship the Lord. Sometimes it's Saturday night so you can sleep in on Sunday. Sometimes it's Thursday. Do it Thursday before people go and leave for the weekend. It's just on and on it goes. The main thing is that when it comes to truly worshiping, that's where the rest is. Doesn't mean you can't do anything. But it's a time that you set aside that this is God's time for me. That God wants to speak to me. Do you ever talk to someone about the Lord if you go visit them on a Sunday? It's an opportunity. You know? So on and on it will go, but it's a way that the Jews and the early church had to separate themselves from the Jewish day of worship. And that's where you probably come to the saying like, okay, what cult are you involved with now? Sometimes just, you know, if you go to a different church. Well, what cult are you going to now? That's not a cult. Just going to a place where I know I'm hearing about Jesus Christ and that he speaks to me. In the early church, remember, it was not a cool thing for anyone to go and to worship Jesus Christ. To be called a Christian was something not good. And it was that way for centuries. Before it was accepted through Constantine, was the one who made Christianity the religion of the empire. But before that, you know, the Christians would have to be careful how they would worship. And a lot of times they got together at somebody's place, somebody's house, or some other place on the first day of the week where they could worship. So God knows that we all need rest, and that's really what the Sabbath is all about. It's interesting, I found that, you know, the times that Jesus did miracles, how many times did he do it on a Sabbath? I found that 7 times. Interesting, it's 7. I got the list of them where they are, but the first one was demon possession. Jesus made someone who had been demon-possessed to be set free from that demon. Did that on a Sabbath. He did Peter's mother-in-law, who had a fever, could not do anything, but he healed her where she then could wait upon him and his disciples. He did that on a Sabbath. There was a man with a withered hand. Of all days, Jesus healed him when? The Sabbath. You can kind of see some of this is where Jesus knew what the disciples, what the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the teachers of the law were all thinking. But he did it anyway. It's kind of like just rub a little salt into the wound. But seven times he healed people on the Sabbath against the Jews. After he healed the guy with the withered hand, that was a time when they started to look for ways to kill him because he broke that law. Interesting. He healed a crippled woman. We get into Luke. There's a man with dropsy. He was healed on the Sabbath. There's a lame man at the pool of Bethsaida who could never get into the pool because of his condition. Jesus said, "You're healed," without even getting into the pool. And he did that on a Sabbath. Do you think that caused a little bit of a ruckus? Some talk going on among people? The last one is the blind man in John 9. He'd been blind his whole life. Jesus healed him where he could see. And he was in his 40s. And his parents said, "Well, he's old enough, he can speak for himself," because they were afraid that they would get thrown out of the synagogue if they stood for their son. But there's seven miracles that Jesus does on the Sabbath. Seven is an important number in the Bible, isn't it? Seven is completion. Seven is a great number. It's a perfect number, absolutely. So the Sabbath is a day that we rest. It's a day that we're to stop and to smell the roses. Or for some of you, your coffee. It's a different day, but it's also a day that we think about the Lord. Contemplate, meditate, read, pray, however you want to do it throughout the day. Well, what if you're a fisherman and you just skip church to go fishing? Some say, like, I get more out of going fishing than spending time in church. There's only one thing with that. Part of worship is also fellowship. Well, that means you can go golfing instead. There's more people golfing. But there's something about being together with God's people. Yeah, you can't over or underestimate that. So let's just pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, I don't know what's going on in everyone's mind here this morning. I don't know whose toes I stepped on through your word here today, but Lord, I hold to your word. There's still things I learn from it. And we know that you are not against us, but you are for us in so many ways. You love us. You care about us. When we do wrong, you convict us. Your Holy Spirit does that. Lord, we just want to be close to you. and to follow you, however that may be or wherever it may take us. Only you can take a heart of stone or someone who is half-hearted and to make it a full heart, a whole heart that will worship you and look to you in thanks. So be with us, Lord, as we continue to worship you today, as we come to your table and partake of your body and your blood, as we need our sins to be forgiven in this way. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to do something a little different. We usually do the Apostles' Creed, but we're going to say the Nicene Creed today. Please stand. And I do not have this one memorized by any means. I don't think I even have the Apostles' Creed memorized. But this is a little bit longer than the Apostles' Creed. We'll say it together, and you may find some connections with the Apostles' Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, from God to God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being to Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate of Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with Scripture. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. In case you are here and you have never had communion with us, just to explain a couple of things, and those of you can just bear with me as you've heard it before. You do not have to be a member of Harbor of Joy in order to take communion. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, he is the one who invites you to come to his table to receive his body and his blood. If you, there'll be two stations. There's one up here. And if you don't want the wine, just hold your hand out like this, which means you will take grape juice, which will also be served as well. So that's one way you can communicate that. If you come up here, you can receive and then go back and sit down where you are sitting. If you want to come up front, up here, you'll be served communion up here. You can kneel. If you can't kneel, you can still stand up front and stay there as long as you want and just pray to the Lord. That's kind of how it's done here, and we invite you to be a part of that. So I'm going to ask the servers to come, and the helpers, is that you, Tristan? I see you kind of looking like, okay. We need one more helper. Is there another young person here? You can hold the basket. You want that basket or this one up here? Okay. You can go up there, and you can wash your hands there. Carter, okay, Carter, you get this basket here, okay? All right. We will make sure our hands are clean. And then we'll have someone that will usher you to come forward and excuse you to come forward if you'd like. This is some extra, if you want to, if you get too much on your hands or something. Okay.
some God he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Would you stand with me and sing our closing song, God Be With You?
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsels guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet.
Serve the Lord. I am so thankful to you.